Hello, welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. It's been a long time, but we're here on a Zoom call with Tom Craggs. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
He's there in the New Forest.
That's stretching it a little bit. Boscombe, which if anybody knows, Bournemouth is, it's like it's the rougher edge of Boscombe, of Bournemouth, so...
Dorset is a nice
place. It's a jungle out there.
How are you feeling about the fact that Dorset got a lot of bad press during Corona for sitting on the beach too close?
I haven't been down. I've genuinely barely. I live about 5 minutes from the beach, and I have. I can definitely count on one hand how many times I've been down there in the last few months. It's pretty vile.
Is it?
But like Magaluf.
I felt bad. I thought, you know, Dorset, we just like to enjoy, we live down here, we've got to enjoy the beach. You can't hold us back. We want to be in the sea all the time. So
it's all right. It's nice on a rainy day.
Yeah.
Because then nobody goes down there.
And on the other end of the line, we've got Robbie Britton sounding like C-3PO because he's got bad reception in the Italian mountains. Robbie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What is it against, like, I had one bad day with an internet, right, and now I'm getting lambasted just because our Wi-Fi comes out of a church tower.
The church is a very powerful thing in Italy, isn't it?
Say that again?
The church is a very powerful thing in Italy.
Yeah, it's got the Wi-Fi. It helps me in all my life. I look to it for guidance by Googling stuff.
Yeah. How are you doing? How is Italy at the moment? It looks sunny.
It's all right. Yeah, it's sunny. I'm readapting to the sunshine because that's I've been in Scotland, which obviously reduced my ability to deal with the sunshine immensely. Mm. And I've come back and it's nice. It's a nice country. I like it.
Yeah. And what's the lockdown? How's lockdown panning out in Italy? Are they thinking of going back? Are you confined to your flat again?
Properly. We just, it's like life has got this new normal, but like since we come out of, like, we had 2 months of actual lockdown, none of this like you can do an hour a day stuff.
Yeah.
I was in the apartment for 2 months cycling on the balcony, and we did like 4 supermarket visits. And then after that, they just gradually let everything happen. Made people, like I said, you got to wear a mask, and our cases have pretty much stayed down. So it's been all right. We've got races, we've got like all kinds of like normal stuff going on. People are maybe touching each other a little less than they used to.
They like a bit of a touching in Italy, less of it, yeah.
They do. That was the initial problem, I think.
Yeah.
One person got it in Lombardia,
yeah.
And then he kissed about 8,000 people within a 24-hour period.
Jesus. What, in Northern Europe, races are just, they're not happening. There's no races around here. I don't know about in England, Robbie, but everything seems to be cancelled over here. I did run a race the other day. I should talk about it because it was quite interesting. It was called the N52 race, which is the name of the tube line, which goes, or subway line, whatever you want to call it, that goes from north to south, Amsterdam. So we all got on the tube at a designated time, and you were given a particular carriage to sit in. So I was in carriage one because I have previous previous form is the word I'm looking for. And so as soon as the doors opened, when you hit one particular station, you got out and you run as fast as you can back to the other station, which is really fun because it was 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. And if you've ever been to Amsterdam, you've probably been to Dam Square, like the big square in the middle, which was full of tourists. There was nobody there, torrential rain, running through the middle of the streets. It was brilliant. But I got lost, so I didn't win. I was ahead virtually the whole race. I was first to the ferry, and the ferry was, I just mistimed it. So we all, the 10 of us come back together again. And then I was in the lead again for the last 3K, and I took the wrong bridge, and everyone else took the right bridge, and I ended up in seventh place. And then I got back to third, but anyway, yeah. But otherwise, Amsterdam Marathon I was planning for was cancelled. Obviously, London's not going ahead.
Right. It seems a little counterintuitive with the issue of the racing at the moment to introduce more public transport into it. Surely that's one of the higher risk areas.
Yeah,
it's kind of go like this racing we can't do, but let's put it on public transport and let's see what happens.
This is a low key thing. This is not a big organised race. So it's just a friend of mine organised it, mostly amongst mates, to be honest. So it wasn't like a it wasn't a big official race, but it was yeah, just a couple of lads. I think there's about sort of 50 of us going, and a couple of lads, you know, a couple of girls, a couple of lads going out for a run in a Sunday morning. Yeah, but it was fun.
It was unsanctioned, basically.
Unsanctioned. So yeah.
There's a good chance you've been a super spreader.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. for your own enjoyment and desire to have some competitive action.
Listen, sometimes you just got to lick the doors of a tube train. Sometimes it just the urge overcomes you, and you just got to do it. So I'm sorry for licking those things.
There was a dude who was prosecuted maybe in the States for licking like the rail. So don't do that, man.
No, jeez. Well, too late. Even longer. Too late. Already done it. Yeah. But hey, that's right. Anyways, everything else been cancelled, which has been pretty frustrating. Have you got anything? Have you your athletes got anything coming up, Tom? Have you managed to squeeze any races out?
I've got one doing. One who's on the elite starts at London, and one who's pacing London.
Is that Mo Farah?
No, it's not this time. He apparently was all right without my coaching inputs. It's hard to believe, but yeah. I'm sure he'll get through.
What do you think about London?
Pretty low key stuff. There's been some low key stuff. There was and some more than low key stuff. There's been some good track meets. There was a podium 5K, which got quite controversial. There's Milton Keynes 5K last Friday, which had some good athletes. So there's been a bit of racing, being set up in a very different way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've had a few people racing, actually, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's racing, but not as we know it.
No. Let's talk about that, London, because I reckon that could be quite interesting, because with laps, I think it's going to be mental fast. Really mental fast, because there's nothing to think about. You just got to switch off and just run for ages. So those guys will have no trouble.
24-hour race then.
Say again?
Come and do a 24-hour race if you think it's easier in the laps.
Come and come from easier. Don't get defensive. You don't need to get defensive.
Just easy.
Saying it's easy.
No trouble. Doesn't matter how long it is. As long as there's laps, it's easy. Yeah.
I agree with you. I think it depends on. Robbie and I were talking about this earlier on. It depends how psychologically you approach it. If if you tell yourself that, oh God, it's going to be awful because it's laps, it's kind of going to be mind numbing, then you'll make it that way, don't you? You'll manifest it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I think, I have to say, oh, look, I don't run as quickly as you guys. I certainly don't anymore. But when I run, certainly when I run a marathon, I'm not thinking about the scenery anyway. Like, I'm not thinking, you're focusing on the effort you're putting in, aren't you? So I think it could be set up to obviously there's no crowd and stuff, which makes an impact. But it's dead flat around St. James's Park.
Yeah.
Some good paces. I think it could be really good.
Yeah. I suppose
it is what it is. So you've got to make the most of it. Haven't you? They're lucky to be able to race. They've got to remind themselves that those elite athletes. Obviously they train incredibly hard and they deserve to be there, but they're also lucky to have the opportunity to race it because lots of other people don't. So if they embrace that and get stuck in, that'd be good.
It doesn't bode well in a prediction contest. It doesn't. The fact that it might be a race for the mentally strong does not bode well for Kenenisa Bekele, does it? For one athlete, I'd say he's talented but not mentally strong. That is Kenenisa Bekele.
So there's no way he's going to win. Black races is that. Especially on the shorter laps, it's harder when you get lapped. So for someone like Kenenisa Bekele, I don't imagine he's going to get lapped that often. Maybe if he has a bit of a mare, it could work in his favour because he'll constantly, from a psychological point of view, have someone to chase. Be it like someone like Paul Nevesy, fantastic runner, he signed up for that. He might get lapped by Bekele, right? So then that's actually, it could work in the favour of some others. And it depends how you look at the loop races. So looking at 24-hour racing, I know it's excessive loops, but you have to kind of get comfortable being lapped by some of the people who start too fast, which is not really going to be the case here. But you can use it to your advantage. You can kind of, in the second half, as long as you paced all right, there could be someone to chase down. And it's kind of using that and going, okay, I'm going to focus on that person ahead, rather than there's not going to be that many people overtaking you because there's no one in the race for a start.
Yeah.
And only so many times Kipchoge can go around you.
Yeah.
So you can, if you put it, as Tom says, it's up to how the athletes kind of spin it in their heads. If they're dreading doing all those loops, then if you're counting down loop after loop, or if you're focusing on one loop at a time, it breaks it up really nicely psychologically. You've only got to do one loop.
Yeah.
And even, I think it was Cheptegei talking about his his world record on the Let's Run. He said, "Oh, I realised at 3K that I only had to do 5 laps in 60 seconds each. It was easy." And like, "Oh yeah, that's easy, mate." But that, he broke it down, and for him, you could, other people could say, "Oh, I have to do 5 laps at 60 seconds a lap. That's terrifying." He was like, "That's just, well, it's just 5 laps, one at a time at 60 seconds. I can do this." And that was like a ridiculously fast 5,000 meter record. So for these guys, they've just got to do a lap at a time at marathon pace.
Yeah, but Bekele, before, when he's back, when he's down, when he's behind, he struggles and he'll drop out. He did it in Amsterdam, was it last year, year before? I can't see him being able to cope with, mentally, to cope with that challenge, but
no.
Maybe
I reckon he's going to shine. Yeah? He's going to have someone to chase. He's going to be able to trick himself into thinking he's going better than he is.
Yeah. And Bridget, isn't it this first race that Bridget Kuskos, of course her name, Bridget Koskai, the world record holder, is it the first race she'll wear with Alpha Flies? So given she decimated Paula's Radcliffe with the previous version, perhaps we're due to see another world record in the women's race.
I guess it's set up a little bit more like a championship race, and those can often be a little bit slower, can't they? But then again, there's elements of the sort of Breaking Two project about it, aren't there, in a way?
Yeah.
You'll get small groups of people running together over a kind of really consistent loop that's probably quite sheltered from the wind and other conditions. Is it a good time of year for the weather to be settled, spot on for running fast? So, there may well be. And plus with the added incentive of having competitors. So, who knows?
I think as well, for Koskai, it would be, do her a disservice to just say she's wearing better shoes if she runs a faster time. She's really early in her marathon career. So she starts, you kind of expect her to, she's just done one, like really fast. To give her a bit of credit, chances are she can improve on that just from a personal level.
Yeah.
And yes, the shoes may also make a difference, but we can't take away from the fact that she's probably like, how did you pace that last one?
Yeah.
It was crazy watching it. But
yeah.
So maybe she's just a bit like, she's tweaked from a personal level that may complement the shoes. Yeah. It seems a shame to just focus on the shoes if she runs a faster time, because some of that may be down to her, or could just be all the shoes.
I just look for reductive headlines, Robbie, so that's why I came up with that one. But anyway, that's a month's start. That's a month's start down the line. We still talk about what's happened up to now, because loads been happening, even though not a lot's been happening. Do you know what I mean? It's been a bit of a funny period. I think we should each have a thing over the last 3 months that we think was the most interesting in the world of running. Who should we go to first? Let's go to Tom first. What's been the most, what's tickled your fancy, Tom, over the last couple of months in our sphere? That was weird, but you know what I'm getting at.
Wow. I think we've not had much. We've not had much to go on. We've had loads to go on, I suppose. You know, I'll let Robbie talk about virtual racing and other stuff if he wants to.
What?
For me, I think it's interesting, you know, the mix between how people have come out of lockdown. You know, some people absolutely flying, some people feeling a little bit rusty. I guess probably from the athletes that I work with, most of them have come out a little bit rusty, which is kind of what I was expecting a little bit. I'd almost be slightly concerned if they were coming out absolutely flying, because other than for one or two of them, there's not much going on to spend that fitness on.
Yeah.
Some people, I mean, obviously if you're going and racing in the Diamond League and it's your job and there's money on the line, it's a little bit different. But it is interesting to see how the effect that, you know, lockdown's had on people, lockdown as much as it has existed in the UK. You know, some people are really hungry to get out and race again. Maybe people have been doing other forms of exercise, a bit more conditioning, and, you know, they've got themselves into really good shape. But then there's the uncertainty around, you know, what to do with it, and, you know, when people are, and different people seem to be coping with that in different ways, some people better than others, that uncertainty of like, I'm just going to have to kind of get stuck in here, and I don't know where it's going to go, and I don't know when I'm going to be racing and being able to use all of this fitness, but just trusting, as cliche as it sounds, just trusting the process, getting stuck in and training hard, and not worrying too much about the end result. I think it shows up who's kind of comfortable with uncertainty, and so, those people who find uncertainty really difficult.
So who's been, like, what's the domestic news then? So in terms of Britain, we've had a lot of British records, right? Mm. On the road. Is it Mark Scott? 50, what did he run? 13?
20-something?
Yeah, 13:20-something.
Oh, no. 13:20.
Maybe even quicker. I can't remember.
I thought it was 13:23. And then
come on.
Alex Yee did 13:26. something like that. So that's 5K road record went. And then he went and run like 7 minutes and 40 odd, did he? Or is that the world record? For Mark Scott for 3K, which is pretty impressive. The other domestically, the things that have been interesting is Laura Whiteman. Jesus, she's good now, isn't she?
She's running really well, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Steve Cram.
That was a great run. Yeah. Have you went ever so slightly under the radar?
Yeah.
Because I think she's actually, she's quite humble about her running, and she's possibly less well known than some of the other, British athletes at the moment, distance running athletes, because she possibly doesn't put herself out there quite as much like that. I thought that the 5K was a fantastic run, but she's also knocked out a really good 1500 metres last week, just outside 4 minutes. And she's running really well. It's really, really, really good to see. She's flying. Obviously, Gemma Riki's clocked 1:58 last night. There's been some under 23 records gone. Piers Copeland got the 2000 metre under 23 record. Max Bergin, obviously.
What was that race? Well, was it in Diamond League 1500 metres where the Brits were like, Laura Muir won it, and then it was Whiteman. Well, we had the first four, McColgan and someone else. Was it Riki as well? And the first. And then Abiri was like 10th or something. Ridiculous. Like one of the best 1500 metre runners in the world was well down on it. So actually, British women at the moment on the international stage are incredibly strong. I wonder why that is.
I spoke to someone, I can't remember who it was. I want to give credit for the comment, but they basically said that one of the big aspects of Kenyan and East African running is running within the group. So they predicted that post this situation, we might see a bit of a kind of dropping down of some of those kind of performances because that group running was gone. And a lot of the community and a lot of the group running is a big part of running fast. Have you been out there, Sean?
I've been to Ethiopia.
There's a lot of group running, there's a lot of pushing each other, right? Like the last man standing kind of sessions, and everyone's kind of, and that's whereas the British, I guess, is more of us. Although back in the '80s, everyone was smashing each other down the club, only running 6 minute miles. But these days, there's a lot of people training on their own or training in very small groups, like Laura Muir and Gemma Riki training up in Scotland, or like Hawkins. Like, training together, there's very small groups, and maybe in this situation, we've seen people actually get on with their training and not be as rocked by it. There's people that are used to training in groups and take a lot from pushing themselves within those groups. Maybe they're going to take a little bit of time to catch up.
Yeah.
That was one theory posted. I can't remember who said it. Might have been a Darahan Finn or someone after a chat.
Yeah, but it certainly hasn't stopped Mr. Chapter guy, right?
He's
doing all right. Yeah, wasn't his like I saw one stat about like wasn't his fourth and fifth K? There was a second difference between the two of them. So it's 2:30, 2:29, I think, his last K is, which is pretty amazing to run so consistently over the last 2K. And didn't he go out pretty steady, I think, and then just absolutely ratchet it up towards the end? Amazing.
Just, I think he said he didn't have a kick, so he just went out a world record pace and held it. That's how he described it. No, I don't kick. All right, mate. Good one. there is a good interview on Let's Run for that one.
So if you don't know Joshua Cheptegei, go back and watch. I don't remember what year it was. You guys might be able to help with this. The World Cross Country, where he just absolutely went for it. And he pushed so hard that he was basically like meandering down the course in the final for the final K, because he just completely knackered himself out. It was an amazing bit of front running. So he's a brave boy. He certainly is, he knows how to get out there and push himself hard. So, but yeah, that was quite good. What's your thing? Because Robbie, you obviously were part of a recent world, would you call it a world record or a Guinness record that you helped crew for?
I put a world record because for a world record, it has to be repeatable elsewhere in the world. And you can only run land and joint approach in the UK. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. But it was Le Jog. It was the Land's End.
It was Le Jog. Yeah. So Guinness World Records, what used to be a reputable record collecting body, it's just a comic book now. Someone once described it to me.
Yeah.
And they have a record that they've accepted that is fake. So their proof back in the early 2000s, I think it was this run, was you had to have signed witness statements from local bobbies and pictures of you running along the route, which sounds really quite easy to fraudulently do. And this chap who ran it in 9 days and 2 hours and 26 minutes basically come out of nowhere and then promptly returned to nowhere. His performances were, I think, his best outdoor 24 hour didn't even break 200K. And it just doesn't add up. There's loads of bits where the start times, he did 95 miles a day. Like the route was too long.
Yeah.
So they took the route off the sign, basically said he did most of his running between midnight and 6 a.m. when no one could see it. And so we weren't going for the Guinness record because we've sent over lots of information to them, tried to get them to reopen it, asked to see the evidence they've got, and they refused to change anything. So we just went for the what we call it, the fastest recognized time, which is Richard Brown's time of 10 days, two hours and 25 minutes. Yeah. Another fact, like, it's almost exactly a day quicker was the other run.
Yeah.
Which is like someone breaking Bolt's record for 100 meters and running 8.5.
Yeah.
After only ever running 13 before.
Yeah.
And then promptly returning to running 13 seconds per 100 meters and saying, well, here's a picture of me at the start, middle and finish of that 100 meters. And a policeman signed a little bit of paper to say that I ran 8.5. Why didn't you accept that? Don't be a doubter. Don't be a hater.
Yeah.
So we tried. So what we've done, so that was Dan Lawson was doing the record run.
Yeah.
And we tried not to focus on the fake record. We tried to focus on the real record of Richard Brown, who was actually with us for a lot of part of it. He supported it logistically, financially. He backed Dan. He's been a big help in Dan's running career as a whole. And he wanted to see the record broken by Dan.
Yeah.
So I'm not one for hyperbole, but it was, in my opinion, one of the best British ultra running performances of all time.
Wow.
Like, people can, you can say, oh, world level and stuff like that. But for me, it's just put it on that level. It's up there. I mean, the previous record holder was Richard Brown, but also Don Ritchie, who held the sub 220 marathon, who held the 100K record for God, 30 odd years.
Yeah.
So yeah, 823.4 miles.
Wow.
9 days, 21 hours. Like, he's averaging about 85 miles a day. We varied it. First day was 97. We had one short day of 73, but the rest are all in the kind of mid 80s.
Wow.
And it just, yeah, it was absolutely astonishing. I supported on the bike. I coached Dan, have done for the last only 18 months or so.
Yeah.
What was astonishing was just how he basically just unburdened himself of anything but running. Which is fortunate we were there, because the navigation, the eating, the drink, he just ran. He did exactly what he had to do.
Yeah.
And he trusted that the rest of us would support him. And yeah, it was like, there'd be mornings you look at him, you think, how are you going to move another step? And he'd just start going.
And really?
Yeah. And he'd start moving. And it was kind of relentless forward motion the whole way through. It was brilliant to see.
Yeah.
And there's been a whole host of, so like, for me, one of the good things about this summer has been that a lot of ultra runners have kind of taken on board the FKT fastest known time challenges. And we have this thing called dot watching. And you go for challenges as long as a day or kind of 9-10 days, you just watch this dot creep up a map. And there's all the social media like involved in that. There's Instagram videos, there's little bits everywhere. But you just watch the dot and you have it with John Kelly and Damien Hall on the Pennine Way.
Yeah.
And like John Kelly, the record was like 2 days, I want to say 15 hours, and he was like 20 minutes away. So the final night, he's just clicking refresh as he's up on the last kind of like on the fell trying to make it to the finish line. And it was exciting. It's just for those who remember like teletext watching the football, waiting for like the seventh page where Wimbledon would come up and you're like, oh God, oh, it's 1-0. Yeah. It's a similar kind of level of excitement.
A test match as opposed to a T20, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. And this can be, if you understand the nuances of test match cricket, then you love it. You love it for what it is. And it can, like we had Carlo Molinaro do the jog beforehand. We've had like all kinds of different ones around the world to watch. And it's actually been really nice seeing the community bond online.
Yeah.
And with Dan's Le Jog, we saw the community come out. And we had people... we keep saying we had the right people turn up at the right time to run with Dan and to kind of offer support. Some people, they ran a lay-by on one of the roads. They parked their car, they got to one end and they ran to the end of him, and that was it. And it just, Dan, you could see, just fed off their energy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was, yeah, that for me was, I mean, it's not even just one of the greatest things of this summer. It's one of the greatest things I've witnessed as a, in my running career. It was just, it was quality.
Wow. And that's, is he, did he video it or did he, as he,
as we he have, met? Yeah, we got, I had a filmmaker, Dave McFarland, and he came along with us. Dave, he came along because he just didn't want to miss it. He was actually with us in Jordan last year.
Yeah.
And he's like, can I come? I was like, yeah, of course you can, Dave.
Yeah.
And so the film, like, I'm really, he did a teaser the other day. It was like 60 seconds. And it was just so many ups and downs and like uncertainty and just raw emotion.
Yeah.
And Dan was so, I swear, he was so kippered at times.
Yeah.
Like, he just, we had him.
Jesus,
we
did, one day of 85 miles and I'd be absolutely gone. So, yeah. Wow.
We had him chatting with my group of athletes. We had a big Zoom call last night, and Dan come on, and he, I mean, he just looked like a man in pain, both physically and psychologically. And he was talking about the nightmares he had, and I've had these as well. But he wakes up in the middle of the night, and it's like, I've got to get to Aviemore. I've got to get there. I've got to get there now. And he's in a sweat. He's like, well, and his partners, like, he's telling them, like, we've got to go. We've got to get to Aviemore. Yeah. And like the night, but yeah, so that, I've had that, but on the bike, which is quite terrifying because I wake up and think I'm on a bike now down a hill and just looking around like, whoa, God, where's the edge? Yeah, that's the kind of, it was real. It was a real psychological battle at times. Yeah.
Well, we'll look out for, really, we'll have to look out for the film when it comes out. Do you know it's coming?
We don't want to rush Dave. He's doing it out of goodness of his heart.
Okay.
Probably in this autumn now, I think.
Okay.
He's excited about it. He's excited about making the film.
Yeah.
So,
I've always thought about,
if you get the chance to watch it, Sean, the trailer's great.
Is it?
Yeah. If you can spare 45 to 60 seconds of your day, I would highly recommend it.
I think I've got a bit of that in a bit. I've got to get my daughter, but other than that, I can watch it while I pick her up.
She can wait.
So what do you think about this virtual racing? And Tom alluded to that, Robbie. What do you think about it? Because I've got something to plug in terms of virtual racing in a sec. But what do you think about it? What's been any highlights for you? I guess that the fastest known times aren't virtual races, they just run challenges, right? So virtual is a bit of a strange word to use.
They're not virtual, they're actual races, like with against the clock. You know what, if someone gets a good thing out of it, then it's all good for me.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people who get really animated and quite aggressive about it ain't a real race. It's like, well, yeah, but if Johnny's enjoying it, then good for him. And we had the Centurion One community event.
Yeah.
And it was all about doing 100 miles or 50 miles all the way down to, I think the shortest distance was 5K over the course of a week. And it was fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Because of the community. Because people were involved in together. We just, like, there was something for people to aim for. There was even that, like, post-race blues after that week. People were like, well, where's the next challenge?
Yeah.
We did the West Highland Way one, which again was done as, I got my athletes doing it in little teams of three. And they all, like, bonded. So, I think there's plenty of positives to it. I quite enjoyed looking at people's Strava files and see how many houses they jumped over when they run that 4-minute mile. I'm like, that's impressive. I've never jumped over one house, and that guy's doing it, running a sub 14-minute 5K in his neighbourhood, in his local neighbourhood, and he's hurdling houses. I'm like, man, that's impressive.
That was brilliant. Wasn't it a guy that just came out of nowhere to run like a 13:40 something in the British 5K Championship, the virtual 5K Championship?
That was Grant Sheldon, and he ran it down in the local sort of housing estate near where I live. And there was quite a lot of order. I'm like, that looks a bit short. So he called it Magic Leap. And then Podium 5 came round, and he went and clocked pretty much that time in a real race. So I think,
did he? That's cool.
Wow.
Well, he ran, right, it was a few seconds quicker, but it was sub 14.
Yeah.
So I think,
nice.
Good on him. I think most people take it for what it is, don't they?
Yeah.
No, it's not real racing, but we've always done time trials. Everybody's always done time trials. Yeah. We've always, and more than that, not only have we done time trials, everybody's got a story about when they break, you know, whatever time on a training run sometime when there's nobody else. Do you know what I mean? It's like, this has always been a part of the sport. It's not just happened because of lockdown and virtual racing.
Yeah.
People have always sort of looked for opportunities to test themselves and to give themselves confidence. And you know, of course, it's never going to replace real racing. And what you do, the real racing has extra demands, you know, properly measured courses, like pressure, you know, expectation, stress, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody's pretending it was it really? Like, I don't think that many, a few people might have been a bit serious about it, but I think most people took it for what it was probably meant for. It's bound to stay as well, I suspect.
Yeah.
A part of the challenge as well, I think. I think it's just a different type of competition.
Yeah.
Part of the challenge is where you pick to run. That's part of the competition.
Yeah.
If you pick somewhere that's difficult, like it's just you've got to embrace it a little bit. I made the mistake of organising a virtual England 5K championships, and it was a mistake because I sort of volunteered to do it, and then the results. To go and verify, I mean, I gave up verifying every result in the end because I was doing it like 24 hours a day going through these results. You go through the results, and within like a few hours of the thing closing, I was getting angry emails from people going, "Do you know that this person has broken the rules? It's a disgrace they haven't been disqualified." I'm like, the thing's literally only just closed. Like, I haven't even had the chance to look at it yet.
They've run.
And it's sort of like, you know, I'm trying to get work through the winners. And it's like somebody's run, and there's no disrespect still, but somebody's run sort of 22:40, and they've run 150 meters short. And I'm like, I haven't got there yet, you know, like I've not got through the results yet to sort of find it. It's just one person, but people got really angry, like really angry. You set these rules and you're not sticking to them, and it's like, well, you know, I got volunteers, and there's a bit of it where it's just like, of course we want fair competition, but you know, it's a hobby for most of us.
Yeah. It's a time for people to get angry about things, isn't it? People like
getting
angry.
Yeah, I think it's probably an opportunity. People feeling frustrated. Yeah. I'm getting my kind of armchair psychology.
Yeah.
People feeling frustrated in life. And take it out on somebody's runner.
Yeah.
40 meters downhill over the course of a 5K. Probably speaking to somebody. I don't know who that was.
I reckon, back in the day when I used to be able to run good cross country, I did almost like 6 months of just time trialing on my own. Every once a week, I'd go to Victoria Park and try and run 2.5 laps as hard as I could on my own. And it's hard because it's hard to concentrate for that period of time. You just got to try and bash yourself and just get in the zone and just keep in that zone for half an hour. But then I ran my best ever cross country year because I was able just to get into a state of discomfort and just keep pushing, regardless of what was happening around me. So I think James on our Strava group asked what people would like us to talk about, and he said, any tips for getting the best out of yourself in like virtual races? And I think it's treating them as training, and the fact that you've almost got to practice the dialogue going on in your head, and trying to practice on keeping yourself as focused as you can do on the task in hand. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I mean, obviously, other than picking a wildly downhill route with wind behind, which surely everybody does.
Yeah.
I think, you have to embrace the fact that it is a different challenge in that way. And, you know, it takes real mental discipline, and that's something that doesn't just come straight away.
Yeah.
Like, I've tried to do them and quit after 3K because it hurts.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But it relies more on you having to tap into some sort of intrinsic motivation, I think.
Yeah.
You've not got somebody in front of you that you're chasing down. You're not chasing somebody away from you. And the reality is your time is not going to, it's not going to pop up on the power of 10 or anything.
No.
So you have to, it's mental skills training. That's what it is.
Exactly.
You embrace that and do more of them, and you get better at them. Whereas probably most of us give it a go and kind of go, "Oh, I didn't go very well," and shy away from them a little bit. So do more of them, I reckon.
It's good practice. Yeah, I just went down a track and did one just because for the Centurion week.
Yeah.
And it turns out I have this inbuilt. I've practiced a lot of kind of just running around in loops on my own, and kind of putting yourself in that, not the pain cave. This is a cheesy term, but just kind of focusing
the
on
hurt
that.
Box.
How to get through that next mile.
Yeah.
How to get through that next lap, and developing those skills.
Yeah.
And they are skills. They need work. So it's kind of, there's one time you might like slow down in the middle. I think I did this at Armagh in the actual race.
Yeah.
I was so focused on a time
yeah.
that I let the fact that time was slipping away in the maybe the
from 2.5 to 3.5K, yeah. I let it slow me down. And yeah. then I picked up again when I realised, well, I might as well just get on with it.
Yeah.
And that was just simply focusing on that time, took me out of the moment and introduced this negative. There was no positive. I'd only felt positive about chase about the time yeah. in the last case. There was no real benefit to that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of thinking about your motivation as well, and trying to avoid thinking about a certain time or a certain and focusing on doing the best you can each kilometer at a time. If it's yeah. a 5K, some of the longer races, it's a bit there's more that comes into it. But
yeah, I was trying to focus, split a race into three, and then the first third to not think about anything. So that helps if you plan your course out, so you know exactly what you've got to do. But almost like to try and think of, I'm going to waste no physical or mental energy. So just look in the distance, look in front of me. I used to do this tactic at Highgate 10K, and it was basically I looked at someone's shorts in front of me for the first third of the race. The second third, it gets a bit harder. So then you have to try and think about maintaining your rhythm. So just getting into rhythm and just focusing on that rhythm. And the last third, why can't I do the percentages right, is when you've got to try and slowly eke out every last drop of energy that you've got. So then you've got to try and, if you can, keep pushing, keep the legs turning even faster than you have before. So yeah, the first bit's don't think about anything, try not to, don't waste any mental energy. Second bit is trying to slowly keep getting to a rhythm that you know you can maintain. And the third bit is trying to slightly raise that tempo by, I don't know, increasing your cadence, relaxing your arms, make sure your body is all engaged in forward motion. That was kind of the way I used to do it. Anyway.
Do the same for 24 hours.
Yeah, forget it. Too long for me. I'm too tired.
Eight hours?
Yeah.
8 hours of just chilling out. 8 hours of just maintaining, and 8 hours of just trying to get to the finish.
Yeah, God.
Easy.
Yeah.
That I always, one of the things I try and trick myself in this early start, like over 5K, is I don't count the last K. I know that when I get to that last K, I'll find some more energy or find some more will. Yeah. The finish line will pull me in. So I'm like, oh, God, there's 2K to go. No, there's 1K to go because the last K don't count. Yeah. You'll find something extra.
Your grind can do
it. It's that way, though, isn't it? The pace lulls a little bit through K3 or 4.
Yeah.
That can often happen in 5Ks because it hurts, particularly if you don't have a background in racing shorter distances than that. If you haven't done any regular 1,500 metre 3K type stuff,
unless you're just Joshua Chapter guy,
yeah,
he runs a 2:30, exactly. Yeah, but yeah,
just a few 60-second laps, mate. That's all you've got to do.
Yeah,
easy as that.
But I should have a plug quickly for the Let's Get Round Challenge. Basically,
plug it.
We are doing on behalf of Children with Cancer. So everybody knows that London Marathon's a huge revenue earner for charities. So Children with Cancer are going to lose a lot of their revenue this year because of London Marathon is cancelled. And we're doing a challenge for them. So basically, on the week of the 21st to the 27th of September, you can enter and you've got to run half an hour and cover as much distance as you can in half an hour. So that's like an episode of EastEnders. What else takes half an hour? I don't know. I forget. But basically, half an hour running. Everyone can do it. Anyone can get out and run for half an hour. You record it on Strava or Garmin. Obviously, you've got to enter first. It's £8 to enter. There's prizes we're giving on behalf of, or from, sorry, I should say. Saw, some lovely stuff from Saw. Cliff Bar have provided some stuff. And Runderwear. So those guys are all providing some prizes. It's not just for the winning fastest female and male. We're going to provide prizes to everyone. So spot prizes throughout the field. And team prizes, because it's mostly going to be sort of teams and businesses, races, and families taking part. So, yeah, get involved. You can go on my website, and it's letsgetround.co.uk/how-far-cc. But I'll put a link up on the show notes here so you can get to that. So, yeah, please take part. We don't ask you to do a lot on this show. That's what we're asking you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some good prizes there as well. I like that Runderwear. I bar my own, I'm not sponsored.
Yeah.
And I actually had to lend my two pairs that I bought to the UK to Daniel Lawson because he was having some cheffing issues.
No way.
He only wears second-hand clothing, old Dan. It was part of his rerun clothing initiative. So he wore my second-hand pants for the last 4 days of the job.
If you're listening, Runderwear, what a plug. And did it save the chafing?
Yeah, his chafing stopped. It cooled down a bit as well. He reckoned the humidity was a part of it, but yeah. The chafing did not get any worse.
That is a plug. Even secondhand, Runderwear stopped the chafing. So yeah,
yeah, they were like my lucky pants.
Sort of dodgy infomercial.
Yeah. If you want to buy that particular pair of pants, enter text.
Text dodgy smell to 0505. Yeah,
I got them back. Like, I'm gonna wear it. It's my lucky pants. I'm not gonna. They're expensive, isn't it? It's definitely getting the virtual race. You can wear a pair of them.
Yeah,
they're not cheap as it goes for pants.
No, but what are you guys up to the next few months? Because I've just looked down at the time and I've realised I've got to go and pick up my little baby daughter. And the other news: I'm nearly going to have another baby. By the way, I didn't know if I told you guys that, but
you are.
And my wife's due.
You're looking good for it, mate.
She's 22nd of September, so I've got a month left until our family becomes four, which is exciting.
Congratulations. Yeah. I didn't have the mental or physical resilience to cope with a second child. So I'm sure my wife did. She's much tougher than I am, or my partner does. But,
We're getting a second dog. Does that count?
That counts.
We're getting a puppy on the 7th of September. That's the top level of parental responsibility I am willing to take.
My daughter climbed out of the cot last night for the first time and decided to start walking around. You know, so that's it. I've lost it.
Life has changed.
What have I got coming up? Well, hopefully we'll see a bit more racing. It'd be nice to see a bit more racing.
Yeah.
London Marathon's coming up. Keep a bit of an eye on. Otherwise,
what's new on Fast Running this month? Have you guys? Robbie did mention off air that he's got an article in the offing about drugs whereabouts tests. So look forward to that. Anything in there at the moment that we should look out for?
We had something yesterday from Joe Meek, who ran the Nigel Jenkins round. That came out. Was that today, Tom? And then we've got one bit from James Stewart, one of the GB 24 hour runners, who wrote about supporting Dan on the jog. That's more from the ultra running side of things. What else have we got on there, Tom?
You can go, if you want to see that little snippet of Dan Lawson's Le Jog.
Le Jog.
Effort. We've got an article in there with a link to that video. I'd say one of the guys that we've had on our little coaching project on Fast Running, Lloyd, wrote a nice article on getting a psychological rest and finding a bit of time away from running and the sport. I think that's worth a read through.
Lloyd Emanike, is it right?
Emika.
I shared on LinkedIn because I thought it had a business tinge to it. You never know.
It does a bit. I've had a few athletes recently, runners recently, who probably just need to chill out a little bit. And probably at some point need to turn off, mute some runners on Twitter, hide some runners on Instagram, and just take a bit of, and find some hobbies outside of the sport sometimes. I think that's a good one to read. It's something we could all learn from.
If you're interested in a little hobby outside of run, I found out how to download Championship Manager 97-98.
Okay. That was the one where you don't have to put in any tactical thought at all, wasn't it?
And you get loads of free transfers. It's amazing.
Teddy Lucic. Teddy Lucic on that one, I think, isn't it? 98?
Maybe, yeah. Sorry, this is Teddy very... Lucic, if you're not 35, 36, you're not going to know what the hell we're talking about here. But if you are interested... Get in touch with me through Instagram and I'll send you how to download that. It is going to spoil my relationship with my wife. I've only played it for one day, but I think that was enough for a year or two. But yeah, anyway.
Destroyed many college and university assignments.
Yeah. The new ones are way too complicated, man. The old ones were just good. Just put Patrick Berger in or someone like that and just get on with it. Yeah. Anyway, I better go and get my daughter. She's waiting at nursery for me, so I better dash.
What have I got next?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Come on. What have you got as well? I've always got news. I did a 20-minute run.
Yeah.
That's it. I haven't done a run in about, well, apart from doing it alongside Dan Lawson. My friend, Mr. Paul Tierney, who did this big Wainwrights thing, he looked at the way I was standing and walking and said, well, I can't repeat what he said because it involved expletives. But basically, he's like, why are you standing like that? That's wrong. And I was just like standing like a duck. Like on the edges of my feet, and then I was running like on the edges of my feet. I wasn't using my big toes, and we've been doing some big toe work.
Great.
It's very, actually, I ran, and my legs didn't hurt
Great.
Any more than they would have done after 3 months off. I've got to tell my coach that as well, Tom. So say, I thought I'd get that in, Tom, now rather than
tell you later after. On.
Tell me about it.
I want to go and do some. So hopefully now I can plan some 48-hour races or something.
Straight in there, yeah.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, Robbie's big toe. We'll hear an update soon. In terms of the podcast, I should say to the listeners, the podcast future. At the moment, we're a bit unsure what's happening, just because obviously I've got a baby coming up and all that sort of thing. But hopefully, we'll keep it ticking over every sort of month or something. We'll put a show out, or maybe even sooner than that. But we'll hopefully be. It's not gone. It's just having a bit of a brief hiatus for various reasons. But yeah, we're hopefully back soon. So yeah,
maintaining the quality. Maintaining the quality
exactly.
over quantity.
Exactly. Not spreading ourselves too thin. Yeah. Lovely.
I'm sure we'll communicate before, but congratulations, and I hope everything goes well, Sean.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed for my little ginger. She's the first one's a little ginger. She's a fiery redhead. She's mad as a bag of spanners. I think that's my fault, because I look after her, and I think I've made her into a bit of a crazy girl, but she's fun. So hopefully number two will be just as fun, but we'll see. Great stuff. Right, I better go and get the first. See how she is. And we'll catch up soon, guys. See you later, everybody.
Bye. Cheerio.